Turn with me to the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. Isn't it fitting? At least I did not have to preach this sermon on Valentine's Day, entitled, Are You Robbing God? Jerry said, at least it wasn't the passage that you preached on marriage and divorce the previous Sunday or whatever. But Are You Robbing God? That is the title of this message. If you recall, the themes in Malachi has been that they have been questioning God's love for them. They have been questioning God's faithfulness to them. Where is your justice? Why does evil succeed? Those sort of things. And so we come to this passage of Scripture as we ended a couple of weeks ago, and the Lord is instructing them, if you're going to be a worshiper of me, you need to return to me. And they're asking, how shall we return to you? And he is going to instruct them here today on how they are to return. I think the question that needs to be asked instead of, does God love us, is, do we love God? And that is where Malachi is taking us. All of these rebukes from the Lord and instructing them on who he is, how constant he is, but that he is a God of judgment. All the rebukes that he is giving them is to bring correction to them so that they can live a life that does experience the joy of the Lord. That's God's purpose here. He is not just trying to condemn the people. He is giving them what is best for them. And the same is true today as we look at this book. God wants the best for you. And he is telling you what is the best for you. The problem is we don't want to listen. Instead, we would rather go down the road of our own destruction, what we think will bring us contentment and happiness and joy in life, instead of listening to God. We need to focus on our relationship with him. We need to focus on our relationship with others. We need to be faithful in this covenant that God has given us, which is the new covenant founded in and through Jesus Christ, which allows us to experience grace and forgiveness, but we are to respond to him constantly, continuously, in faith and repentance. So we come to the issue of money. Not only money, but we're also going to talk about how we can rob God of our worship and how we can rob God of our service, not just our finances. But money is a sensitive issue. There was a country preacher who said to his congregation, now let the church walk. Deacon Jones said, amen, let it walk. Let the church run, said the preacher. Let it run, echoed Deacon Jones. Let it run. Let it fly, said the preacher. Amen, brother, let the church fly. Now it's going to take money to let it fly, brother, said the preacher. Let it walk, said Deacon Jones. Let it walk. Faithfulness to God means you will not be controlled by anything, including money and materialism. We are called to mirror God's faithfulness. As Phil Newton says, in a covenant relationship with God, you are to mirror God's faithfulness. My prayer for you today is that by the grace of God, he would lead you into the truth of being able to evaluate yourself, to reflect on your life, to ask the question honestly, am I robbing God? We're about to partake of the Lord's Supper at the end of this service. We are not to partake of it in an inappropriate manner. We need to evaluate ourselves, the Apostle Paul says. I think this sermon is a good time to evaluate yourself. Would you stand with me as we read? I'm going to pick up in verse 6. If you remember, the last sermon had to do with the Lord's constancy, that he is constant, does not change. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. And then we come to verse 7. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? And the Lord is responding to them, in your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. You may be seated. May God bless the reading of his word. How do you rob God? Look at verses 7 through 9. When God says, return to me, and the Lord says, but you are robbing me. How do we rob God? Well, first of all, we rob him through our financial tithe. Now, you're going to see this phrase, the full tithe, the whole tithe. I'm going to discuss that more in just a moment. But what was occurring in the nation of Israel, just so that you know the background, do you remember? He's already rebuked them for their sacrifices because they were not giving him the proper offerings. He said, even the governor would not accept such an offering, but yet you are offering that to me. They were acting as if they were righteous, but they were not giving the whole tithe. Outwardly, they seemed pious, but inwardly, they were not giving generously to the Lord. To rob means to defraud. That's one definition that we can use. Rob can imply defrauding, which means, as Phil Newton says, they gave something but made their offering appear other than it was. Now, who else in Scripture did that? Do you recall Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5? They wanted to be like Barnabas and the rest of the church in Acts chapter 4, who they sold a piece of land, and they came and brought the whole offering and laid it at the feet of the apostles. You come to chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira want that same recognition from others. So they say, hey, we've sold this, and we're bringing the proceeds and laying it at the feet of the apostles. They're acting as if they were giving the whole tithe, but they were keeping back some for themselves. And Peter says, why do you lie to the Holy Spirit? So that's defrauding, but it can also mean to take forcibly. And that picture that we have there of that definition is the attitude of one who is unfaithful to the Lord. Just simply unfaithful to the Lord. You do realize that faithfulness and returning to the Lord involves all areas of your life, including your finances. But when a preacher preaches on finances, what is the automatic response? That preacher is money hungry. And I don't know if that is because of televangelists on television, which I'm going to tell you right now. You need to stop listening to such garbage on the Trinity Broadcast Network. Now, there's some who buy some time there that are pretty good. What you need to do is you need to think more locally, to the local church level. All right? This church is not money hungry. We're trying to survive. So I'm not trying to get you money so that I can drive a Cadillac. Now, if I want to drive a Lincoln, that may be a different story. But no, I mean, I'm just saying, there's a lot of jokes about preachers. And I laugh at them. I laugh at myself. I laugh at the group of people that I'm associated with. There's this illustration of a man who had a heart attack and he was rushed to the hospital. He could receive little company and was not to be excited. While in the hospital, a rich uncle died and left him $1 million. His family wondered how to break the news to him because they didn't want to get him too excited. So it was decided to ask the preacher if he would go and break the news quietly to the man. The preacher went, and he gradually led up to the question. He asked the patient, what would you do if you inherited $1 million? And the patient said, I think I would give half of it to the church. The preacher dropped dead. All right? That's funny. And I'm okay with it. But understand, just because someone preaches on tithing doesn't mean they're trying to take your money. It all belongs to the Lord. You need to remember that. This is about your relationship with God. How you handle your money and possessions reflects what is in the inner self. It reflects the heart. It reflects faithfulness of a person. Do we not understand that God owns everything already? Psalm 50:10, for all the animals of the forest are mine, and I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. But let's move off money for just a moment. And let's talk about another way that we rob God. We rob him through our time, worship, and service. You do realize that you can rob God when you do not worship him as he has commanded you to worship him. We are to worship him daily. Yes, we are to worship him on the Lord's Day, the Sabbath that he has set aside. We are to gather together as his people, and we are to worship him. When we view the Sabbath worship or the Lord's Day service as something that is optional, folks, you're already robbing God. And I don't mean to be legalistic, pharisaical, mean-spirited, but he has said, on the Sabbath you shall rest and worship. So just think about that. Are you robbing God of your worship? What about your service? Is it selfish of God to require of us to serve his kingdom with our time and our giftings? Well, let's think about this for just a moment. God has given to us sacrificially, right? He sacrificed his only begotten son so that we might have forgiveness and experience eternal life. Is it too much of God to ask for a contribution back or an offering of gratitude? Is that selfish of God? I don't think so. Do you know that as a believer, even when you're washed in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, when you stand before God, you're going to have to give an account of what you have done in this body? Your reward in heaven will come from your deeds. Listen to me carefully. There are rewards in heaven. And it will come based upon what you have done for the glory of God. 1 Peter 1:17, and remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites when he judges. He will rejudge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time as foreigners here on earth. So how are you serving the Lord? Okay, let's stop for just a moment and let me just say to you, your primary mission field is where God has placed you in this life. Your home, where you're at currently, your job, your community, who you encounter on a regular basis, that is your mission field. One of the primary mission fields of all Christians is the home. And we ought to make the home a gospel-centered place where we worship the Lord, where we talk about the Bible, where we do devotions together. That is a mission field. And you are to leave this building and you are in the mission field. That's your primary purpose in serving the Lord. But you also must serve his kingdom here on earth, which is the church, a representation of God's kingdom. It is Sinclair Ferguson who says, if you are not planning to serve in the life of a congregation, you should not be planning to join it. In the coming weeks, I will be having a list of ministry service jobs or ways to serve here at Gum Springs, and it is going to be numerous, the jobs list. We need people for nursery. We need people for children's church. We need people for vacation Bible school. We need people for basketball. All of these ministries, we need people if we, by the grace of God, get to do these things this year for fall fun or you know, whatever it may be here at the church, and I will have a list. We need help. What's sad is I shouldn't be having to stand up here and guilt you into helping. But I'm telling you here today, and don't think that I'm just being irritable. If we don't get the people needed, these ministries will be going away. And you say, Pastor, where is your faith? Oh, I have faith. But I also live in reality. We need you to serve the Lord. And there's a place for each and every one of you. You may be sitting there thinking, I don't have any giftings. I don't know how to serve the Lord. Well, can you push a broom? Jeff, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Can you push a broom? Do you know how much it takes to put on our basketball program here? Can you sell somebody something behind the concession stand and take their money and put it in a drawer? We need this type of help. Just as we needed help in clearing our parking lot so that we could have services here this morning. All right? This list is going to be forthcoming, and we are asking you to be praying about how you can serve the Lord. A tree is known by its fruit. Jesus teaches us, so every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Do you love Gum Springs? Do you love this church? You may not love me. Thank you, children, for nodding your heads up and down while there was no adult doing so. Thank you. Do you love this church? This is your church. Yes, it's God's church, but it's yours. You're invested in it. If you love God and love each other, then let's get this done for His glory. Well, how do you receive God's blessing? That's ways that you steal from God or rob God. But in verses 10 through 12, notice what he says. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the window of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer so that the devourer doesn't destroy your crops. Put me to the test on this, says the Lord. So we got this phrase, the full tithe, the whole tithe. Well, you must understand that Israel was a theocracy. It was sort of like taxes. And when you think about taxes, you don't like giving the government your taxes. But in the state of Israel, these contributions, this tithe, was used to support the Levitical priesthood and the temple ministry. There would be a storehouse in the temple complex where the tithe and contributions would come. But it is applicable to us as a church here today, because what you need to do in order to receive spiritual blessing is to do what? Is to bring the whole tithe or the full tithe into the church so that it might support the church ministry. You must understand the priesthood of that day did not have land. They did not have a way of supporting themselves. They were limited. So the nation was given the stewardship to support the Levitical priesthood. That's why in our budget we support the ministry of the church and the minister of the church. If you want me to build a storehouse so that you can bring me food to eat, we'll do that. That wasn't funny. That didn't go across well. Okay. But how much is a whole tithe? Now, all of you have been raised on the tenth, right? You give a tenth of your financial resources, because we saw Abraham do that with Melchizedek in the book of Genesis. Go and read it in Genesis 14:19. It says Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. In the Old Testament, we see that measure that we're to give back to the Lord, but we don't see that measure in the New Testament. What do we see in the New Testament? We see sacrificial giving. Remember the poor widow who gave the two coins, and the Lord drew attention to her and celebrated her because she gave all that she had? The question is not how much you should give to God, but how much you should keep for yourself. That's the true question as we look at it in the New Testament. C.S. Lewis said, "I do not believe one can settle on how much we ought to give. I'm afraid the only safe rule to give is to give more than we can spare." Martin Luther says, "I have tried to keep things in my hands and lost them all, but what I have given into God's hands, I still possess." You are to give cheerfully, the Bible tells us. You are to be generous in your giving to the Lord. Why wouldn't you be generous to the Lord and thinking about how much he has given to you, including his son dying on the cross? Why would you not be generous to him? I think sacrificial giving is the mark. You can use the tenth as a baseline, but really we should just keep giving and giving and giving. Christians should be the most giving of people because we understand the grace of God. We should be generous, not only to the church, but to those who are in need. We should constantly be giving. Did you not pick up on this throughout my 3 years of preaching? We are simply sojourners in this land. This is not our home. We are living for another city, heavenly city. That is our home. We are simply to be stewards of God's resources. So when the Lord says, "Put me to the test," he is saying, "Be faithful to me. Put me to the test. How I will not bless you richly." So to be faithful to the Lord requires you to be faithful in all areas. Remember, we've already talked about relationships, right? Your relationship with God, your relationship with others, your relationship with your spouse. We need to be faithful in our relationships, understanding marriage is a covenant relationship. We are to be faithful in our parenting, in our grandparenting, in our business practices, in our relationships in the community, our relationships in the church. See, he's calling us back to faithfulness, to being stewards for him, to being ambassadors for him, to be wise in how we walk and use our time. But instead, we'd like to go down the road of destruction. Broken relationships, heartache, disappointment, despair, immorality, chaos, and ultimately destruction. God curses those who are unfaithful to him and who rob him. Listen to what he says in Haggai, chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. "You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts." Now I want you to listen closely. "Because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I have called for a drought on the land and the hills, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, on what the ground brings forth, on man and beast, and on all your labors." What is God saying there? How can we apply that? Let me ask you, are you spending more time on your own personal house than the house of God? God's saying to the people, "My house lies in ruins." Well, you're fixated upon yourself. But he promises spiritual blessings to those who put him to the test. He uses that language, "I will open the windows of heaven and pour down blessings. I will destroy the devourer." Does anybody know what the devourer is? It probably had to do with the locusts, something that would eat their crops. Swarms of locusts were common in the Middle East. He's saying, "I'll strike down the locusts. Your land will produce. You will be blessed among all the nations. Put me to the test on this." Now, how often do we say, "Don't put God to the test"? Jesus said so in the wilderness that not putting God to the test. But that's not what is being meant here. He is saying, "Try me. Try me. I have promised to you that I will be faithful to you. I will pour out blessings upon you." Now, these blessings are not always monetary or materialistic. It can be spiritual blessings. It can be family relationships, friends. The greatest blessing of all is salvation in Jesus Christ, but what greater blessing can you have in your family than to leave a spiritual legacy to your children and your grandchildren? It seems like that the gospel can be lost in one generation. That appears what is happening in America today. But if we return to him, he will bless us. He'll pour out blessings upon us. I won't have to stand up here and talk about faithfulness to the Lord. It will be automatic. The Holy Spirit will convict and rebuke and draw. Think about your salvation. What better blessing than your salvation in Christ that God is guarding for all of eternity in heaven? It is a promise to you. And he rewards people for their faithfulness. I think that we see that. I don't know if that's on the next screen or not, or if that's the only screen. There we go. God promises that he will bless your faithfulness. You will be rewarded for your faithfulness. 1 Samuel says, the Lord rewards every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Should our goal not be in life to hear those words from the Father? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Do you know how good it feels when somebody tells you that you've done a good job at something? You know, it's a rarity for me because I'm not very good at much. But when it comes, I'm like, yeah, that's encouraging. That's encouraging. I didn't get really encouraged when I was sledding and not sledding. But anyway, I could take it. I'm a big boy. And that big boy went sliding off that sled. But anyway. You know how good it feels? Good job. Or you look at a test score if you're in school or whatever, and you got an A. Or for some of you, you're just excited that you got a D and passed. You're like, yes, I don't want to take that course again. I can remember it being at Vanderbilt, and I was not the top student. Jerry was at Belmont. She had a 4.0 through Belmont. I had like a 3.2 at Vanderbilt, but it's Vanderbilt versus Belmont. What are you going to say? And but anyway, I can remember taking microbiology. I think it was microbiology, wasn't it? Or organic chemistry. Was it organic chemistry? I was just praying for a D. I was like, please, Lord. And I got it, so I didn't fail the course. But you know how good it feels to hear those words, well done, good job. But shouldn't we desire that from the Lord? Well done, my good and faithful servant. This sermon was intended for Valentine's Day. Okay, that's the cycle that it was on. It was going to be preached last Sunday. And I hope that you did remember your Valentine last Sunday. Remembered your loved ones, your children, grandchildren. Did something to show them how much you love them. But I also hope on Valentine's Day, which fell on the Lord's Day, that you thought about God and his love for you. And you asked the question, Lord, do I love you? The question should never be, Israel should have never asked this, nor Judah. Lord, how do you love us? That was the wrong question. The question should have been from the people of Israel, and we should learn from them, Lord, do I love you? Because the Lord is constant. It doesn't mean that God became love. God is love. He loves you. And he is saying to you what is best for you. Return to me. Return to me, and I will pour out blessings upon your life. No, you may not be the richest person by the world's standards, but oh, you will be rich in God's kingdom. I believe materialism and money is killing Christianity in America today. It's killing us. It's an idol. We need God to tear down that idol and start living for the rewards of God, not the rewards of man. The Bible says in Matthew 6:1, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. 2 John 1:8, watch out so that you do not lose the prize for which we have been working so hard. Be diligent so that you will receive your full reward. Let us not question God's faithfulness to us. We are here today as a testimony of his faithfulness, right? Has God been faithful to you? Oh, God's been so faithful to you. He can never be unfaithful. But are you faithful to him? Are you robbing God? We're going to pause before we partake of the Lord's Supper, before Jerry comes and sings a hymn of response. Now's the time to evaluate your life. Now's the time to ask God to show you who you truly are. And then return to him. Church member, are you serving the Lord? Are you stealing worship from him? Those who are not church members, do you want to be a member of this church? If so, know that when you come, you're coming to serve the Lord with us. But we want you to be a church member. We want you to come. Be a part of this congregation. Seek the Lord in this moment. Would you bow your heads? Just seek the Lord. There's going to be quietness in here for just a moment. Ask him, Lord, am I robbing you? Lord, show me who I truly am. Search my heart. Do that now. Lord, when it comes to returning to you, we can't even do it in our own power. We need your help. Holy Spirit, guide us into all truth. Magnify the Lord Jesus Christ to us this morning. As we come to your table, the Lord's table, may we remember your sacrifice for us, but also rejoice in it that we have forgiveness and salvation. Lord, I'm going to trust in the power of your word to draw people to you this morning. This is your church. Do your will. And I will trust in your good and perfect will. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you'll stand, please. We're going to